Time for the 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, faithful? It is Tuesday, which means I am here with the legend himself, the Wayne Breezy. Wayne, how are we doing, my friend? There is optimism in the air for this season. How are we feeling today?
We're feeling good. OTA is about to kick off, and it's about to be on. 49ers football is officially back, baby.
Man, it does not stop. It reminds me of the Dave Chappelle skit on Making the Band, where he is P. Diddy. Can't stop, won't stop. Like, it's mini camp, it's owners meeting, it's press conference, it's draft, it's just non-freaking stop. And now we got OTAs. The 49ers report, or their first whatever, is tomorrow at noon, 12:30 time, Pacific time. And so, you know, let's start there. I have too many notes today because I had notes for Wayne's show last Tuesday and I didn't get to them all because I had some family stuff that is 100% on John Chapman. So I apologize to everybody out there. But now I have two shows of notes for Wayne. And so, yeah, it's going to be a lot. We'll see how much we can get through. I'll roll forward the rest of next week. It's what it is. But let's start talking about OTAs because who cares, right? Like, let's play this out. Like, why should people care about the 49ers reporting for OTAs, and why is that important? Why are you excited? Because I'm excited, too, because I think there's a lot we can learn from it. But what is it that you're looking forward to?
Yeah, man, just the bro groups, man. Like, everybody getting back together, trying to get on the same page. You know, cats coming in from different areas. You got the new kids on the block. You got the old veterans. Some of the veterans would be there. Remember, these are like involuntary. These aren't mandatory. So I don't think the Niners have any contract situations going on to where people going to hold out. So, like, that's the biggest thing, right? Like, so, yeah.
I haven't been here a lot.
I'm kind of expecting everybody to show up, OTAs, get it in, get that installment in, and keep it moving until, you know, training camp kicks off in July. Like, so this is fun. For me, you're getting old school, new school, need to learn mode. I burn, baby, burn like Disco Inferno. It's going to be fun. Like, you know, Brock's going to be there. You want to see him building a rapport with these wide receivers. You got new wide receivers, Mike Evans, Christian Kirk, Dejon Stribling. You got new guys on the new kids on the block. So I think that's what it is for me, man. Just building that bromance.
I'm pumped about it. Yeah, look at this. Jackson Ox starting the show off with a fireball. Look at this coming in with a super
fireball.
She says, have a great show, fellas. Jax, every time I see you in the chat, I just want to say thank you. It really lifts my spirits. Can't wait to be together in person throughout the season, this upcoming season. So excited to see. I see you got some of your tickets for the games, and I love seeing that. Thank you, Jax. Yeah, who shows up? And, man, I mean, the 49ers are now passing out non-holdout clauses for Trent Williams, right, his new deal. Like, they are trying to get ahead of this. We're not doing that Bosa, Debo, Trent, holding out till freaking first game, whatever. Like, no. We're past that as a franchise, the culture. We're not doing that anymore. I think Brandon Ayuk really kicked them in the rear end, and they're like, okay, we're not doing this ever again. So that's huge. But also, I want to know where guys are taking reps, especially the rookies, right? I think that's going to Carver Willis, like, probably going to be at left guard. I want to know that. Is Prysock behind D'Amador Lenore, or is he on the right corner competing with Renardo Green? You know, which two safeties are out there? Who's taking snaps at the third Sam spot? Where is Nick Martin lining up? These are the questions where we finally get to peek and see and kind of get a cheat to the answers to the test. Where the 49ers coaching staff see all of these players fitting out, those are the ones where I'm just like, dude, I want to know where people are playing. Are they going to line up in multiple defensive fronts right off the bat, or is it just kind of same old with this 4-2-5-4-3 look? I don't know. Which one of those whether personnel decisions, lineup decisions, kind of piques your interest.
I don't know if we get any of that in May. I think May is getting everybody in their respected rooms, getting everybody on board, getting out those iPads. Like, that's May. but it could be different. We got new coaching, new philosophies, some of the same players. So it could be different. I just want to see those dudes out there in red and gold. I want to see this new regime. And I think that's what I'm most excited about, the new regime and players coming out fired up. And I want to see who's taking practice seriously, man. You know, from the young guys to the old guys, bro, from the coaches to the owner. Shoot, at the end of the day, like, I want to see this team come in on business in May.
Oh, I like that, man. I like that. Look at this from Blue. Appreciate it. John, just want to get in here early. I've become spoiled by your content and have to come to expect this level of quality from everyone, and they just can't compete. Thank you. That is very, very kind. Me and Wayne been doing this for a little bit. Just a little while, right, Wayne?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
We've been recording just a little while together. This is show 1650 of the 40 Hours Rush podcast. And Wayne and I, we've done close to 400 shows together. We've been recording together for years, man. And so very, very blessed, very, very thankful. I do want to just update real quick. We do have a Zoom hangout tomorrow, Wednesday, the 27th at 5 p.m. Pacific time, for everybody that subscribes over on the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon channel. Now, Wayne, I want to transition now into probably the bulk of this show. John and Kyle were on a podcast, the Tom Tolbert Show, you know, local radio guy over here in the Bay Area. And I want to get your opinion on a couple things. Now, whenever I think about explosive offensive plays, the very first thing that comes to mind is Wayne Breezy Patreon, because you freaking crush it every single time. Now, Kyle Shanahan was asked just about how they felt things went last year offensively and defensively. And Kyle said the biggest issue was the least amount of explosives that we've had in our tenure here, especially in the run game. Worst we have done in the run game, end quote. Now, Wayne, talk to us about your Patreon, your explosives breakdown in season, and explain to us, where did the explosives go?
When Ricky Pearsall was healthy, they were going to Rick. The ground game just wasn't working. For some reason, we didn't get our first, like, 10-yard rush until, like, week 13. It was the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. We kept saying Christian McCaffrey lost his burst. He didn't have the speed. The run blocking was just horrible, horrifically terrible. Yes, I made up a word. It got us a few extra syllables, and it was bad. Like, there were no lanes open. We couldn't get to the outside zone. It was just terrible. And the defense knew they had extra men in the box. So those explosive plays on the ground really hurt. Therefore, play action pass wasn't really a part of the equation. And we had to rely on certain trick plays to get 10 yards. That's the weirdest thing. Now, for me, on the Patreon, I do break down explosives and the negatives. So don't think you don't get the negatives. If it's a tackle for a loss or negative, you're going to get that too. We're going to look at and see what might have happened, like a center missing a block. But at the end of the day, those explosive plays just weren't happening on the ground. And there were like a series of games where we just couldn't get any explosives, bro. And don't even get me to the last week in Seattle. It was just terrible. But yeah, you can find that on the Patreon in season. Now on the Patreon, I'm doing other things to build the community. Come on over to the Patreon. I'm trying to build that community. I'm trying to make it 49er, like, just communicated, like, you know, just community based, where we just sit, we chat, we dig a little bit deeper into what we talk about here on the YouTube. So it's more like that. It's not a bunch of extra breakdown film videos like my man John Chapman. I don't have the brain power for that. But I do give you explosive plays, and I give you the quarterback's attempts in passing throws throughout the regular season. So that's pretty cool.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. For some, summer is their favorite season. Travel, pick up the kids, they're out of school, adventure, it's all out there. For others, juggling it can be tough and can lead to being overwhelmed and counting down the minutes until the kids are back in school. And many worry they're wasting their days of sunshine. Well, therapy can help better understand their needs. Feel more confident about setting boundaries. Create a version of summer that actually feels good. And with over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally. And it works. Their average rating is 4.9 out of 5 for live sessions based on over 1.7 million client reviews. BetterHelp therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the United States. And they do all the initial matching work with you for the therapist. Short questionnaire helps identify your needs, your preferences, and over 12 years of experience in the industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. But if you're not happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from all of the tailored recommendations. You don't have to say yes to everything this summer. Find support in therapy, sign up, and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. Hey, Niner faithful. If you're looking for tickets to see the 49ers play this season, TickPick is the destination for the best deals you'll find on tickets with absolutely no hidden fees. TickPick guarantees the best price on tickets to every NFL game and beyond. Download the TickPick app and use code Niners, N-I-N-E-R-S, at checkout to save $10 on your first order. Again, that's code Niners. Get your tickets ready today to cheer on the team with the rest of the 49ers Rush community. And all of our events for the 49ers Rush road trip are sold exclusively on the TickPick app or TickPick.com. Just search 49ers Rush. I freaking love it, man. My favorite thing is that, like, we hit different spots, right? And it's almost like we're like a coaching staff, you know what I mean? Because it's like, yeah, I remember whenever I was coaching, it's like, all right, who wants third downs? Who wants goal line? Who wants play action? Who wants third and long? Like, you divvy this stuff up as a defensive staff, as offensive catch, how, like, staff. How do they line up to this? Who wants to do this? What's the blitz bat? Like, that's what we do. And so the explosives, which is such a big deal. And if you don't know what explosive is, different teams kind of chalk that up differently. Like Mac Brown used to do it like a 12 plus yard rush attempt or it's a 15 plus pass attempt. Yeah. Right. Kyle Shanahan does it differently. What's your definition?
So I do 10 on the ground, 20 in the air. You know what I mean? So anything 20 yards or more in the air, that's an explosive play. Anything 10 on the ground or more is an explosive play.
And I'll go back to Mac Brown. You know, I had the wonderful opportunity to go to several of his clinics and have conversations with him. Like he would always say this. He would say, look, if you just show me turnover ratio and explosives, I'll tell you who wins the game every single time. If you win both those categories, it's as simple as that. Turnovers and explosives. If you win those two things, you win the game almost 99% of the time. Now, Shane says we were slow, which is correct. I mean, when your X wide receiver runs a 4.7, Christian McCaffrey, you talk about the lack of burst. When George Kittle was out, that hurt. When, you know, Ricky Pearsall was out, that hurt. There was a lot of lack of speed. Now, did they address that? DeSean Stripling, 4.3, Mike Evans, even though he's older, probably still 4.5 guy. He was a low 4.4 dude. You get, you know, Keelan Black runs a 4.47, way faster than, you know, Brian Robinson. Like, definitely address the speed. Did they add enough speed, Wayne?
They've been addressing the speed for the past couple of seasons because Ricky Pearsall is a 4.4 guy. So, like, at the end of the day, I mean, like, your 4.3 guys were hurt. Jordan Watkins came into the season. He got hurt in training camp, remember? And so he didn't really take off. He's a 4.3 guy. You got Jacob Cowing, who ain't played in 19 years. He's a 4.3 guy. So they've been addressing speed. And then they went and got Dejon Stribling, another 4.3 guy. So speed, the need for speed has been addressed. The question, the optimism is like, will it get on the field? Like, you know what I mean? Like, will it be utilized? The last time we had a super speedy guy where we've kind of started to change the reins of the 49ers wide receivers was when they drafted Danny Gray, and that didn't work out. But that player was for Trey Lance. I think what they did is they addressed speed for Brock Purdy, and I think that is what we got to really start to kind of like hit the nail on the head with. They definitely looked at Brock and said, let's build this team around Brock. And I think that's the type of speed we got. We got speed and physicality and a lot of the players. So I'm excited.
I've got the need. The need for speed. There we go. 49ers, Jeff says the defenses were stacking the box. It
every,
was a
every game. Every
yeah, game. Even Seattle, who didn't stack the box at the initial snap, they would
they
have
got the blueprint.
They'd rotate it down after a full count after the snap. Like, that's what it was. And, man, shout out to the legend. Look at this. Talking about coaching staff. Here's my OC right here, man. Maybe my head coach, Johnny Dill, where podcasters go to learn about football. If you haven't checked out Johnny Football, Johnny Dill Football Academy, what are you doing?
I'm just there for the vibes.
Dude, he's the freaking man.
You ever sit and it's too much learning? And so you just, at some point, you just be like, I'm just there for the vibes, Johnny.
Like,
let me, bro.
Football 401. I do football 101. He's like,
I'm football 001. I'm the introductory course, and then they hit you up, and then they go to the advanced. Right.
Johnny's coming out to Atlanta, I think. We're trying to make that happen. So anybody coming out to Atlanta, 49ers Rush Road Trip.
Get your notebooks ready. Get your voice recorders ready, because Johnny has got information.
I got to charge Johnny Dill up, because he lost our trivia competition last time in Seattle, and I was disappointed.
Johnny, trivia is not your thing. Trivia is a different beast. Because the father and his son, they come out all the time. I did the school stuff. Yeah.
Brent, yeah.
They're the kings of trivia. Kings. Yeah. Clark, there it is. Kings of trivia.
So he says this is Johnny Dill. He says, Mike McDaniel has a clip when he was with Sanford SF talking about the run blocking from receivers is what makes big explosives. Wide receiver blocking with straight cheeks. Even Juwan Jennings, who, you know, made his career like, dude, this dude's as tough as they can. Probably his worst season ever blocking. A lot of that had to do with the ribs and whatever else, whatever. But it wasn't great. Ricky Pearsall, efforts there, not consistent. Mm-hmm. There's some issues there. So can that step up? And if you, I've got, you know, Mike Evans tape up. That dude still values blocking. He's one of the biggest wide receivers ever.
They drafted the best blocking wide receiver in the draft. So I think that was what they needed to address, and they addressed it both in the preseason, in the offseason and in the draft. So we'll see what happens, man.
Oh, look at Shane. I remember I was in Canton, Ohio. We were hosting an event. It was a dynasty event, whatever, fantasy football event in Canton, Ohio for their fantasy football expo. And I left the event that I was hosting early so I could watch that preseason game. Trey Lance hits that deep bomb to Danny Gray. I'm in Canton. And I'm just like, it's destined. Trey Lance is going to be the future Hall of Famer. And, you know, I was really big on Trey Lance.
And then I'm not gonna get. We're not gonna have this conversation.
We're optimists.
I tell you what, we were wrong. I was wrong. I was hella wrong. But was I really wrong, or was he just used wrong? Come on, man.
I'm staying with the Dave Chappelle, Charlie Murphy skit where he's like, "I think he wouldn't do that again." Wrong. That's what he was, a habitual line stepper.
That dude ran him three times, halfback, quarterback gut. That's what I call it, a play. It was a quarterback power run three times where whoever the offensive lineman was at the time, I think Jake Brendel was in on that play too, if I'm not mistaken. Like, somebody just missed a whole defensive lineman. And that defensive lineman just cracked the leg of Trey Lance.
Yeah. Maria, shout out to Maria. And there's a lot of really quality comments. I can spend time on all that. We can make this an hour show, and I'd love this. This is what happens when Wayne and I get together, because like, it's just fun, and the chat's bumping. I'm just very thankful to be here today. This is awesome. I needed this show today, Wayne. Thank you so much, man. Maria, one of the issues was not having a back that could break through tackles. Running through the left was good because of Trent, and he also had to, you know, make up for Burford. But yeah, like, Christian McCaffrey is unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
There is the lack of burst, and there is the not breaking tackles as often as you want. Like, you can look at, you know, because right now the fantasy Twitterverse is dominating, where they're putting out all these analytics over the past year, and they're doing like tackles broken per run and what. Christian McCaffrey ain't nowhere on him. Like, he's not in the top 30 of, like, he wasn't. Like, it's just not there. even though he had the most touches.
If you go back the year before, though, he was. Usage, though. Like, it's part of the way that he was being utilized. All right, let's talk about the first part that you said, right? The first part, bro, as soon as he got the ball, they were in the backfield. That's tough. He's not as young. He's not a young spring chicken anymore. And, you know, that was tough. So those are some of the tackles you're hoping that he breaks that first initial tackle. But, dude, as soon as the ball's hiked and the dude's on him, it's kind of tough. I hated that. I hate that the offensive line couldn't figure that part out to help the running backs out. Now, if you're talking going 2-3 yards, getting down the field, breaking tackles, man, I don't know. It just wasn't the same because I just think the usage of him was different, in my opinion. Let's see if he gets – I don't know if he gets the burst back this year, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets the burst back. I just wouldn't be surprised. And I wouldn't be surprised if he makes those one cuts again and starts breaking tackles just because the offense is going to be better in its totality, you know.
Yeah, I'm
optimistic.
I like that.
I'm optimistic.
That's right. It's in the show title. 49ers Optimistic 2026 is based off of 2025. Now, let's go back and let's look at this. Was another one of my key takeaways from the Tom Tolbert interview with Kyle and John. Kyle talked about last year defensively. He said going into the season, we knew we were, quote, a little light on defense. And then it got worse with injuries, but they knew they did not have. And this question came up with what would it take for the 49ers to win a Super Bowl? And like Kyle Shanahan openly admitting, man, we knew last year that offseason, 2025 offseason was rough, man. You had the Brandon Ayuk, whatever. You didn't sign one starter in free agency. The draft was good, but not explosive. Like it wasn't like, oh my gosh, like nobody was like, you know, jumping out.
That draft was boring as hell, bro.
It was boring, but you got a lot of contributors, which I do like.
Solid talent. Yes.
But we kept saying like, dude, they're, you know, get cheaper, get younger. Like that was their thing. And because they took their medicine and still went to the playoffs, still knocked out the reigning Super Bowl champions on the road in the playoffs. Yeah. The Seattle game was a nightmare, but man, 2026, the roster is completely different. Completely different now. And a lot of that had to do with 2025. So my question to you, do you think your overall analysis or just view of this defense, is this a team that can, a defense that can bring, you know, kind of a Super Bowl home? Do you feel confident enough in this? Or is it still, in Shanahan's word, a little light on the defensive side?
When Shanahan, was he referring to the defense going into 2026 being a little light or going?
Yeah, he was talking about last year was a little light going into
last
the
year,
season.
But going into, okay, so I know that there's question marks, and I know you know, and I know that they know that there are question marks, and I think the question marks really stem around the secondary. I think that those are the question marks. What I like that they did was, first of all, they brought in another secondary defensive-minded coordinator, right? That's number one. Then he brought in one of the greatest secondary coaches probably of all time. So Kyle, knowing that it was light, said, Raheem, I want you, and then bring in a guy to work with some of these guys that we have.
Jerry Gray.
So that right there situation from a coaching standpoint has been addressed. We don't know if it's fixed, but it's been addressed, right? Because we haven't seen them play yet. So we know that they addressed that. Now, as far as the players, you know, that's what it's going to come down to. That will, they got to go out there and just show and prove. I mean, they drafted Ephesians Prysock. That's a different type of player that we normally see get drafted for the San Francisco, to the San Francisco 49ers. You get what I'm saying? So something is shifting defensively. Now, I am high as a sky on this defense because Fred Warner is back and Dre Greenlaw is back. And the balance is back. If you want to know what the middle of the football field, those two guys instill the balance on the defense. It's less work for the DBs and it's less work for the defensive line up front. I did a show yesterday. I talked about the front being the engine. D-line got to get home. They got to do their goddamn job. They got to stop the run, do their job. The linebackers are the brain of the defense. They're the ones that are dictating, hey, man, you need to be here. You need to be there. You got to go here. You got to go here. That's back. And then if Fred is the brain, I was talking about this, then you got the blood that flows to the brain, give the brain this oxygen. You have Dre Greenlaw back, bro. This is amazing. I don't give a fuck if he lost a step, got two more steps. This dude is coming back to the place where he was birthed to play football, and I'm just that much more excited. I care less about anything else. With that being said, though, I think that helps the secondary. I think it helps out a guy like Jair Brown, who didn't know what the fuck his role was last year. Was he linebacker? Was he a safety? Was he what? Was he was bad. He was terrible. He was MJ bad, right? I think that shifts a little bit now. Because if you go back to that Steve Wilks defense, which was a secondary-minded defense, they had some brain farts. You had some young guys out there. But Jair Brown looked like he was in contention of growing into some type of an all-pro-esque type of a safety. They moved on from Tyler Noah Hufanga because of Jair Brown. Soon as Steve Wilks left, that defensive mind shift. You got Nick Sorensen as a coordinator. We were like, what the fuck, freak? It was a wrap. So I'm high on the defense. I do think that the defense, though, I think the pressure is more on the defense than it is the offense, if that makes sense.
My thing about the defense that I'm probably most excited about is, like, let's go through position group, okay? Better this year or last year? Defensive tackle room, is it better this year or is it better last year?
I want to say it's better because I like the youth movement, okay?
And I think Osa's better than anybody they had either year, so your best player got better.
Better than Javon Hargrave.
Out on Jordan Elliott. He drove me wild, man. Oh, I hate Washington State.
Better than Elliott, better than Givens, better than Davis, better than the other Davis. That one guy. And like I said, is younger. So these guys can actually grow into their role. I like the upside on Alfred Collins and CJ West. I really do. And I'm glad that they moved on from some of those other dudes to give those guys roles.
Yeah. I like, okay, defensive end. Better this year or last year? I don't think that's close.
You get Nick Bosa back. And then I'm high on Sam Okwuanu if that's where they play him. I know he's kind of like that tweener guy.
He gets to go to the role he deserves to play. Last year, he had to play Nick Bosa's role. Last year,
You're getting Mike Hill, and you're getting those guys back. So you're going to be able to set the edge. You're going to be able to rush the passer. And then they addressed it in the draft and Romello Height to be a third down sack machine. I really think he's brought in to be he's our Nick Benito, bro. I guarantee it. I can guarantee it. It's a brand name.
That's big coming from you. Wayne wanted Nick Benito.
We needed energy off the edge. Not boring off the edge. We needed energy off the edge. Nick Bosa's boring off the edge.
Yeah, I agree.
We needed energy off the edge.
Just explosions, not really like his thing, right?
No,
like,
he's amazing. He's
technician, smart, calculated, which works. And I would consider him a top six defensive end in the NFL. And every down guy.
It's not a shot at Nick. He's just boring.
It's just a little boring. Okay. All right. Linebackers. This one's the easiest one.
Oh, come on, man.
Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner return. Yeah.
We were calling this linebacking duo the best linebacking duo in the league for years.
And it
will return. How about that?
I freaking love that.
I'm optimistic.
Corner and safety, it's the same personnel, but you added backups at corner, right? You bring in Prysock, Nate Hobbs, like Jack Jones. The safety room's almost the exact same. So, like, more experience.
I think the safety room is better because of the experience, right? Yeah. And the mentality of those guys. You just mentioned Jack Jones and Nate Hobbs. You got one versatile piece in Nate Hobbs who could play potentially that star role on the defensive side. He could play safety. He can play corner. He could play outside. He could play inside. Like, where do you need me, coach? Put me in, coach. Where you need me? He reminds me of Spencer James from All-American. He could play anywhere. That is what the Niners need. That is going to be their wild card piece. I think that Joker piece for the defensive side of football. Just watch. I think Nate Hobbs is going to have a great year.
Yeah, look at this from Cal Chipto. I don't think Romello Height will ever be a Pro Bowl or anything, but he could be a top five defensive pass rusher immediately. You look at the draft class last year, the second place sacks was 4.5 from the draft class. Like, that's it. That's the second best sack total number from rookies last year. If you told me you got 4.5 sacks from Romello Height right now, I'd take it. And I'd be like, dude, that is enough. Now, can he grow into something? Like, what is his ceiling? Is it, you know, a Owe? Is it, you know, a Bonito? Is it, you know, where can it go from there?
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but that's not what the Niners have to have.
No.
He just gets to go play a role.
He go sick him. Sick him. We talk about we got dogs all day. Well, he's going to have the most best dog role on the team because he's going to have one objective. And you talk about a kid with a motor that looks crazy. I don't know if he meant like not a Pro Bowler this season. I'm not giving him Pro Bowl credit this season. But I think eventually if those sack numbers are ridiculous over the first three seasons of his career, that's home run in this draft. Home run.
Especially whenever you look at just the fact that sacks just have not translated very well for this defense.
Correct.
So, like, yeah, the pressures, the, you know, getting the quarterback to change his feet, drop his eyes, those are huge. But we need finishers. You got to have guys that can just put the quarterback in the dirt. That's what you've got to get to. Now, real quick, we've got more questions. One, we finally know the grade that the 49ers had on Brock Purdy heading into the draft. And I want to go through Daniel Jeremiah's blueprint for how to build a championship roster. I want to see if the 49ers pass it. But before we do, if you go to any 49ers away games this year, come party with us at 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. 49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get autographed. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. And just want to let you know, we have all-encompassing, fully inclusive travel packages to Australia and Mexico City with game tickets included, flights included. If you want that, you don't have to select that option. But for individual events here in the United States, we're going to be at Seattle. We're going to be at Atlanta. We're going to be at Dallas. So go get those tickets. Kids are free to everything. And we might add an event or two. I'm still working the back channels just a little bit. We'll see about that. Now, in that Tom Tolbert show with Kyle and John, Kyle let it slip that they had a fourth round grade on Brock Purdy heading into the draft and that he was one of their favorite players because of the culture changing attitude that he brought to Iowa State, how he took over that program and kind of changed the trajectory. But in the same token, they said, we thought he'd go undrafted because of his measurables. It turns out they were right, because if the 49ers didn't draft him with the last pick of the draft, he would have been undrafted. What, like, is it crazy to have a fourth round grade on a quarterback and then not draft him? I don't know. The Brock Purdy lore just continues to grow a little bit, I feel like.
I don't think so, man. The Niners grade their players the way they grade their players. The Niners are always trying to, sometimes they'll go and just get that guy. I don't think they felt they needed a quarterback because they had already invested in a quarterback. And so him still being there with the fourth round grade with the last pick in the draft, it just, hey, our guy's still here. No one knows about him. No one's thinking about him. Go get him. I don't think there's anything wrong with their grade. You can see why Brock Purdy would have had a fourth round grade. And I bet you everybody else probably wish they would have drafted Brock Purdy.
Oh yeah,
by the fourth round as of right now. So whoever did the scouting on Brock Purdy deserves a round of applause, because they definitely did their due diligence. The reason why he probably wasn't a higher grade than that just was because of his intangibles, height, size, speed, hand size, all that dumb stuff, right? Arm strength, I mean, what you need is, that's not dumb, but at the end of the day, my point is, if we had a fourth round grade on it, makes sense why he's performing as well as he's performing now. He wasn't an undrafted guy. just 31 other teams just overlooked Brock Purdy. 49ers were looking, they kept their mouths shut, and they were able to snatch him up with the last pick in the draft.
Yeah. Now, another thing I didn't know, in that first start against, because he came in against the Dolphins when Jimmy G broke his ankle. Awesome game. Jaylen I was Phillips at that one of the best ankle. Games ever. Yeah. Then the very next game against the Tampa Bay Bucks, who they dominated, he broke his ribs on one of the first pass plays. And Kyle talks about how he misdiagnosed man versus zone. He called the wrong can audible. You had a free blitzer. I forgot who it was. I think it was Keanu O'Neal came through and broke his ribs, messed up his cartilage, even had like a tear in his oblique, whatever else. Played through it. Didn't miss a game. Like, and I think, you know, my favorite Brock Purdy talent is being able to diagnose the defense pre-snap. Like, okay. I feel like he is really, really smart. And I love the fact that the one time early in his career he got it wrong, it broke his damn ribs. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you're going to learn today. Like, it's so, I think he learned such a valuable lesson from an early standpoint. If I get this wrong, I break my ribs. If I get this right, I don't get touched, and we have a successful play. And so I don't really have a question so much as, like, when I was listening to that interview, I was like, ah, this is why Brock is so good at this. Because the one time he wasn't, he got his ass beat.
I think what I love about Brock Purdy the most is the elite processing. And I think essentially you talk about pre-snap, but I'm talking about just knowing where that ball... When things started to shift on Brock as far as the type of players he was throwing to, you saw the anticipation leave. Remember, we were like, well, why is Brock holding on to the ball like this? His processing is elite. He still has the elite processing, but I don't think he had the right pieces. And so he had to hold on to the ball. He had to try to make a play. And so I think now you're going to get elite processing, anticipated throws, all that type of stuff that makes a quarterback elite. I think you're going to get that because they've solved some problems on their offensive side of football. That's why I keep saying, to me, the biggest question mark is still going to be the defense. I think Kyle Shanahan was like, yo, we got to get an X wide receiver. We got to get a guy. We got to get an X man. It's just period. We just need a guy. And they did it. I don't care if he's old. He's still dominant. He's going to be dominant. Especially for, you know how many people are going to be like, damn. All we had to do was pay him $14 million this year. We could have had a Mike Evans. Kyle's going to slap people in the face with that one. So I'm excited for Brock. I think he's going to also improve in other areas. I think his ability to make plays when the stuff breaks down is great. You know what I'm saying? So the off-schedule stuff, I think Brock is elite in many areas. I don't know what will make him the elite guy. Like, to the Josh Allen's, all these elite players, none of them won the Super Bowl other than Patrick Mahomes. I don't get it. You going to tell me Sam Darnold's elite? Fuck out of here. Hell, no, absolutely not. So I'm excited to see what Brock's going to do this year. That's why I'm excited for OTAs, because I know Brock and them receivers will be there 100%. Yeah.
I just think about Brock having receivers and tight ends and backs he does not trust. Like Luke Farrell, you'll see him be open and pull it. Jordan Mason, like he hated Jordan Mason more than Bobby Turner hated Jordan Mason. Like there's just certain guys that like Brock's like, I ain't throwing it to Stone Hands. You remember the replacement?
No, that was unnecessary roughness.
Yeah, unnecessary. That's right. Don't throw it to Stone Hands. That's right. I got my movies mixed up. But I think that's a big deal. Now, there's a question from David R., and I like this question. He wanted to know your, in my opinion, rookies, who will play the most this season is the question. He says, quote, don't see it being Deshaun Stripling, end quote. Who is it for you that you think gets the most snaps, plays the most this season?
I think it's a toss-up between height and Halton.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, those were my two as well. And because both are going to play.
Both are going to play. Yeah.
And so you have Grace Halton's going to be the Bravo group, right? So you're talking 20 snaps a game. And then you've got Romello Height. He's your pass rusher NASCAR guy. Mm-hmm. Usually that's a little less. So I'm going to go Grace Halton because
I think I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
Oh, Carver Willis, no doubt. Dude,
if he starts, it's a wrap.
Johnny Dale loves him some Carver Willis, and I love going through his film breakdowns of him. I am very concerned about his pass pro. His run blocking, I'm in love with. I think his run blocking would instantaneously upgrade the run game for the 49ers. But what that transition going from tackle to guard, his anchor I don't like. He's a waistbender I don't like. I feel like he's got a lot of translation to his game that he's got to bring. But, man, every run game snap, it's like, yep, that's it. Yep, that's it. Yep, that's it. Pass pro, I'm a little out there, but
I think if he can come in and run block better than anybody else we got, sign me up. Johnny, sign me up. He can learn the pass protection. He's going to be next to the best motherfucker in the world. He can learn that.
And Jake Brindle's not bad at pass pro. Like, no. Jake Brindle's pretty good at pass pro.
It's run blocking.
It's the run blocking. He would help in that.
So if you're telling me that Carver Willis would be the best option, because we got to run the ball game before we pass the ball. I mean, that's the plan. The plan is to – our rush attack was terrible. Think about it. Our first – I got the time to look it up. But our first 100-yard rushing game came like mid-season, right?
Let's see here. I've got it here.
Am I crazy?
Like just total 100 yards.
No, I mean from one running back. Like my bad. Okay.
Yeah. So like the first game against Seattle, total rush yards, 119. Then you went 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 straight games without one. And then the Falcons, you got it. And then Brindle got hurt and you had one of your best rushing games ever against the Giants. But then
that was with Matt Hennessy. You did that on purpose. That was funny.
Well, I mean, I just remember watching him just dominate Dexter Lawrence nonstop, who got traded for a 10th round pick. And, you know, it's what it is. 10th round pick. the 10th overall pick. I mean, shoot, that's what it was. Like, that's right. Dexter Lawrence for number 10 overall. Johnny Dale, he says, back on his concerns about pass pro, looked like it stemmed from such horrible kick step. It was one of the worst I've ever seen. Doesn't have lateral hip flexion, and it caused high shoulder sets at tackle. Right. Yeah, I agree with you completely. What that's going to look like at guard, the anchor I still struggle with. But yeah, the hips are tight. But dude, that run blocking, Chris Forster loves them. Oh man.
I think the battle between the left guard spot, would you say right now the penciled guy is Robert Jones? That's the veteran.
I would take Robert Jones or Connor Colby consistency right now. And allow Carver Willis to develop. Now, we've seen left guards start or guards start with Dominique Pooney, Spencer Burford. Like, we've seen rookies get those started, but all of them were due to injuries.
Correct.
All of them were. But then they didn't get the jobs.
I don't want to hear anything about an injury. I'm going to ask God to give us one season.
Hey, we're doing okay right now. We haven't had anybody tear their MCL after getting up out of a chair at a weight room at a freaking.
I'm just saying. Just
was that
one
Jeff Wilson
season.
Jr.?
Yeah, it was Jeff Wilson Jr. Then he tore his Achilles, right?
I think it was his MCL.
I thought his Achilles popped.
It might have been.
It might have been the knee. It might have been in the knee. Either
just
way,
up
it was
out of a chair at a team meeting.
I think it was a stool. Oh. Do something. Either way, you know, that's why I thought it was Achilles, because it just went pop. But whatever. It is what it is.
Look at Thomas. He's throwing shots right here. Says, anytime Chapman says, I love such and such a player, but that always raises my attention. It's a bad thing. Because my spiritual gift is backhanded compliments. Like, I can say something really nice and then tear down a person. Ask my children. that's what it is. Peachy's in the house. Peachy. What's up, Peachy? You are the best. You are the best. All right. Let's get to this Daniel Jeremiah, okay? I just want to – this is the grading rubric that Daniel Jeremiah put out there, the roster that is required to build a championship foundation. You need these 12, okay? Mm-hmm. So let's go through it. Number one, quarterback. Do the 49ers have the quarterback checked off?
Yes.
All right. We're good there. He says three offensive playmakers. Do the 49ers have three offensive playmakers?
They got Christian McCaffrey, Mike Evans, and freaking George Kittle. Check.
That's a minimum. That's not even throwing out there.
Right. I didn't give them. Right.
Ricky Pearsall.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Quality offensive linemen, three.
They got two. Three. They got three. They got
I
three.
I think they got three, too.
They got Trent, Colton, and Dominic.
Yeah, that's three.
Okay.
That's three.
We checking off all the boxes.
I need the sound.
I don't have it.
Oh, you did the sound. I thought we were going to do the sound.
Oh, you heard it?
Yeah.
I can't hear it. Okay, my bad. That's why I do have it.
That's survey says.
Yes.
It turns around. Yeah.
Okay, as long as you can hear it, that's the only thing that matters. Okay.
Okay, two pass rushers.
We got it.
Bosa Osa, right?
Yeah, did Daniel Jeremiah do this just for us?
No. He put this out just, you know,
if he lowered his standards. That's what I'm saying. Because we checking off a lot of boxes right now.
But I think rightfully so. Like,
keep going.
This is a damn good roster. Okay, the last one is three defensive playmakers. This one's a little vague.
Vague because you got Big Play Dre. You got Fred 100%. Warner. 100%. And you got DeAndre Lenore.
Yeah, those were the three I went with that weren't pass rushers, right? Because I didn't want to double dip.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? And so you've got Bosa Osa, pass rushers, and you've got defensive playmakers. And what's interesting to me is you even have some close to filling in. Because pass rushers, what about Romello Height? What if he is what we hope he is? That could qualify as a pass rusher. What if Malik Mustafa returns and is finally consistent? You know the splash plays are there, but can you eliminate the negatives? Well, that's four defensive playmakers. Offensive playmakers, what if Ricky Pearsall stays healthy? Then guess what? You talked about the explosives and all that kind of stuff. What if Kalon Black or, you know, James or somebody steps up as the extra? Like, the 49ers meet this threshold of 12. One quarterback, three offensive playmakers, three O-line, two pass rusher, three defensive. They meet the threshold. We didn't come up with this. This is a Daniel Jeremiah exercise. But I'm just sitting there like, dude, I think they have two quarterbacks. Like, I'm sitting here saying they have 15, not 12.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm just like the optimism around 2026 in this offseason. Now, they haven't even practiced yet. But at this point last year, if we go 88 miles per hour in our DeLorean and we jump back to 2025, dude, I don't feel this way. I don't feel this way last year.
Can we do we have time to do the exercise then?
Yeah.
Let's do it. All right. Because last year, go back to the beginning. We got the quarterback. Check.
Offensive playmaker, you got Kittle.
You got CMC.
That's it. I ain't putting Juwan Jennings in that.
Really? Come on, John.
Dude, he has one of the lowest yards per catch, most drops, most interceptions.
But he got the touchdowns. And he almost had 1,000 yards. Again.
Almost had 1,000 yards is not a wide receiver playmaker for me. I love Juwan Jennings.
This dude was the king of third down.
I just did it again.
Yeah, you did the butt. But he was the king of third down, bro. Whenever you needed a third down conversion, this dude was clutch, bro. That's the most consistent clutch guy I've ever met in my life. Okay, that's fair.
And this is a good debate, but like,
was Ricky Pearsall more of a playmaker than Juwan Jennings?
When he was out there, yeah, but I'm not giving it to him either, though. I'm not giving it to him. But, like, dude, Juwan Jennings had 975 yards the year before, but the NFL agrees with me. They didn't sign him in free agency. They didn't do anything to the draft. Sign him as a 1-2.
That's fair. All right.
Here we go. We were talking to Ayuk returning as a playmaker. I didn't think Ayuk was playing for a long time. I've known Matt Mayoko think he's going to start week one. I laughed my ass off when that came out, and people were mad at me. I got a lot of hate because I was like, there is no way in hell Brandon Ayuk's playing week one, and he ain't playing week one this year.
So two is right. Go back to the offensive line. That was the same. So you had the three quality offensive line.
Pass rushers.
You had him. You didn't. Okay, you had you had Bryce Huff and you had Nick Bosa. You specifically signed Bryce Huff to rush the passer, bro. That was the whole ideal. He was the opposite of Nick Bosa, and he was supposed to feast. And he was having a great hell of a start to the season. And then Nick Bosa got hurt. He became a starter.
Okay. Blah, 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 blah. I'll give it to you.
Okay. You didn't have it on the interior, but you had it on the edge.
Defensive playmakers.
You had the same? No, you didn't. You had Fred Warner.
You had two.
You had DeAndre Lenore. Okay.
So Malik, I think we would have considered Malik to be one last year, but I don't think that he took a step up.
He did not.
Coming off that injury.
Yeah, coming off the ACL, I think, right?
Look at this law of all. Played himself maker. That's wrong.
Y'all mean, man. I got to make sure I stay on the good side of this community. She
played himself maker. That's good.
Yeah.
That's good content. So, all this to say, like, okay, I think now, I even like that, if we gave it to Juwan, even if we gave it to Malik, even if we gave it to Ayuk, you're talking barely 12 last year versus 15 this year.
Mm-hmm.
And with a lot of optimistic question marks, Kalen Black, Jordan James, like, can Ricky Pearsall get there? Can't, like, there's just so many, like, can they?
Right.
And we'll see. We'll see. But I feel confident. My biggest question mark with the 49ers has nothing to do with the 49ers. It's that they're in the toughest division in ever.
Hands down.
Seattle Seahawks are badass. Now, I think they took a couple steps back. The Rams are badass, but they wasted their first-round draft pick for this year. Like, but I think that the three favorites for the Super Bowl should all be in this division. I really, really do. I think the three best teams in the NFL are all in this division. That is my biggest question mark with the 49ers heading into 2026.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough. I know it's going to be a tough season, but the Niners, I think, are built for this. I really do. I really think they're built for it, and I'm excited to see what they bring to the table. And I'm tired of saying barring health, but we all know if we come into this season healthier than we were last season, sky's the motherfreaking limit with the new players and the old players. So I'm excited to see what shows up week one in Australia. Really am.
Ooh, I am too. Look at this. Johnny Daly says, my biggest question mark is Dustin Perry. Zero confidence. 8 seasons in a row with the 49ers. 6 as the head of strength and conditioning coach. He is,
I thought they
terrible,
fired him.
Terrible. They fired somebody else and promoted him. He's been with them for
I'm
8
dead.
Straight seasons. Jeez, you would be if he was in charge of your health.
He's got those pictures, man. Like, what happened was the cellular phones, man. They had iPads and stuff, and stuff got shared on all the devices. And he got something.
That Shanahan loyalty program.
I guess, man. He should be gone.
Better or worse.
Yeah, it's a death do us part. Yeah, I got you. Damn. They fired the other. So the other guy was the scapegoat. And then he gets promoted. Gotcha.
What would you say you do here? I'm going back to Office Space on that one. Right here, Johnny. He's freaking Pablo Reports over here. He says, yeah, he worked with Lynch and is married to Matt LaFleur's cousin. Well, Matt LaFleur is a head coach. Go be with him.
Yeah,
but go cousin your way over there.
Now. Right.
He
sucks so bad they won't give him a job.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
I wish Kyle Shanahan treated more people like he did Steve Wilkes.
I mean, come on, Kyle.
I don't like people losing their jobs. I'm not advocating for that.
But they should lose their jobs if they suck. You got to look at your job and say 98% of the teams on the IR, bro. Like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah, that's why I work for myself, because I know I'm not good, but I don't have to. I'm on the Jerry Jones employment plan, where he's like, yeah, if I was, you know, hired by somebody else, I should have been fired a long time ago, but I'm not going to fire myself. That's what it is. Taysom, how do you guys feel about Cam Jordan? My favorite non-49ers player in the NFL currently was not with the team. He's still out there. I would love that, but they got to see what they have in-house. And that's why I think you wait. And I don't think Cam Jordan wants to do a training camp. That's what those guys wait for, training camp, and to see if there's an injury, if they can, you know, kind of capitalize on that. So I don't think there's going to be really any more movement, especially with big free agent signings. You might get some back into the roster guys added just to churn the back end. Mm-hmm. But as far as, like, you know, $5-6 million plus contracts, don't expect to see those for a while unless there's a major injury. So, like, don't hold your breath for Joey Bosa or, you know, any of those big. They want to see what they have in-house, and they're going to see that tomorrow.
For sure. Okay. And give it time. Stuff happens. Players will get signed.
That's right. In the words of Denzel Washington and Man on Fire, I wish you had more time. Wayne, you are the best of the best. You put a smile on my face all day today, and I'm very thankful for what you bring to the community. Would knock us out of this show, my friend.
Hey, the Pats don't come on tomorrow, but the players report, and that is most important because they're reporting healthy and ready to go. We're going to have some fun this season, faithful. Get ready. Get your tickets. Lock, load in right here. 49ers Rush, D. Wayne Breezy. Till the next time, keep it faithful to the Bay.